Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, too. Those of you who have been listening, I know that what you're feeling. You can feel your IQ going up by exponentially every hour you listen. And look what you got to look forward to, those of you who just tuned in, especially now that Rich Galen is with us, especially now that Rich is on the show with us. Rich is our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the publisher, the writer, the editor, the chief economist, and the janitor over at Mullings.com, a thrice-weekly cyber column. And he's also the guy who coined the phrase, "What happens in Sheboygan stays in Sheboygan." Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
I'm actually giving a speech in Sheboygan. February.
Well, you tell him I said that.
I don't remember where I'm giving all the speeches, but giving one in Sheboygan sort of stays with you.
It takes your breath away, doesn't it? It's like a dream come true.
I like that. That's a nice section of Wisconsin.
Yeah. I write my own stuff, too, by the way, Rich. I write my own material. Okay. As I said last week when I was interviewing Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, you know, I remember a few years ago, the Queen Elizabeth said that her year with all the divorce and the fire and everything, she called it Annus Horribilis. Now, I don't know what the Latin term for week is, but whatever that is, you can add a horribilis on the end of it. And that was Mr. Bush's week last week. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I can't conceive of how it could have possibly gotten worse. But you know,
it could have two indictments. Could have been two indictments.
Could have been two indictments. Yeah, that was how I led the column this morning. That you know, this is how rotten a week you know you've had when only one federal indictment against a high White House official is good news. I mean, that's
right.
Tells you how bad the week really was.
Right. So so we're going to get into some of those things, but first I want to talk about this CIA case, and let me set you up this way. To me, this CIA case is the world-class example of cruel irony. That you can cut with a knife. First, Joe Wilson does everything. This is former ambassador, so-called ambassador Joe Wilson, does everything he can to discredit President Bush. But even though he's been completely exposed as basically a serial liar, mm-hmm. the way the White House handled itself has actually played right into his hands.
Right.
Second, even though no one in the White House was found to have violated the law prohibiting the exposure of an undercover CIA agent, the way they responded to the investigation had resulted in at least one high-level indictment. So, and finally, it could be argued that the whole issue could have been handled differently by the administration, and the only victim would have been Joe Wilson. What do you think?
Well, all that's true. You have to put yourself back into the time period when all this started, and that was, that was after the infamous 16 words in the President's State of the Union address about yellow cake, which is a precursor to uranium,
right.
coming up being, you know, that Saddam's people were hunting around to buy this so they could process it into uranium, and then then it turned out that maybe this wasn't the case, and so there was a whole, I mean, it was a whole different era in terms of what was going on at the time. That's number one. Number two is that I didn't understand until about 3 weeks ago when Judith Miller finally wrote her first, she's the New York Times reporter.
She actually wrote something about this case,
yeah,
right?
Wrote her
for the first time.
The first person account. And I didn't understand why anybody cared. I mean, forget about Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson's wife, being having a covert role. She wasn't really a covert officer. I mean, forget about that part, but I didn't understand why anybody cared that she worked at the CIA or not. I kept asking myself, would they have gone through all this if she had worked at the Commerce Department
mm-hmm.
and got him sent over? But what happened? The way to put this into context, Jim, is what Judith said that Scooter Libby told her, which was they were very, at least, or not they, but he at least, was very concerned about the CIA mounting an operation, literally, against the White House to distance itself from its own crappy intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that as far as Scooter Libby was concerned, and maybe others, Valerie Plame was an operative in that activity by sending her husband to Niger, where, mm-hmm. by the way, by his own admission, by his own op-ed piece, he said he did this whole investigation by sitting in a bar drinking green mint tea. Well, that's not exactly mm-hmm. heavy-duty undercover work. But anyway, so it was really an issue. It wasn't so much about Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame so much as it was setting up the battlefield between the CIA and the White House.
Which blows most people's mind, Rich. They don't understand why the CIA would be working against their boss, against the president, and you can explain that to us when we come back, as only you can, Rich Galen. He and I will be right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
High on a mountain of love. Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance.
Mr. Van Morrison, ladies and gentlemen. Probably his best song, maybe after Brown Eyed Girl. This is the best one. Rich Galen, that's Rich on snare in the background. Rich Galen is the publisher of Mullings.com. I hope you check out his website and subscribe to his thrice weekly cyber column, Mullings.com, MULLINGS, right, Rich?
Yep, www.mullings.com.
All right. And folks, by the way, if you see Rich on television, it's that guy. That's him.
That's him.
Sometimes you see him. You'll often see him on television. By the way, you've gone over to the dark side recently, though, haven't you? Over to CNN?
Well, I decided, you know, because...
Well, they let you back on Fox now that you're on CNN?
They actually complained about it a little bit yesterday.
I bet they did.
I said, well, on Saturday, I said, well, pay me, and I'll only come here. But if you don't want to pay me, then you got to. I mean, from my standpoint, and your listeners will.
So basically, you have no standards. If they'll pay you, is that what you're saying, Rich?
Well, yeah. The this is business, after all.
I lost my head for a minute then, Rich. I'm sorry.
From my standpoint, this is the TV appearances are a marketing tool for speeches. I mean, when people see you on TV, they think you're valid when they see that.
Right?
I don't know why, but it's true. So being on CNN just really expands the potential.
Right. I thought it was this show that was getting you all those speeches. Rich, let's continue to talk about the CIA thing for just a minute. I think everybody knows what's been going on. The details over in the weeds has been too complicated. I think the average person out there is not going to take the time to really understand this. But what has happened is they know that a high-level official in the White House has been indicted and will be going to trial probably. What does that do to the president?
Well, I think it doesn't do much to the president. I think it does a lot more to the vice president because Scooter Libby was his closest advisor. I mean, it's just, you know, you hate to, I mean, I describe it as like being in a canoe and, you know, when people have to change places in a canoe, it takes a while for the thing to stop being tippy and to start everybody paddling together. So there will be a diminution in efficiency out of the Veeps office, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing about this is that it doesn't, no matter how hard my friends on the left have tried to, you know, grab George W. Bush and get him splashed up on this thing. Nobody has been able to show even the vaguest attachment. So, unlike the left,
Rich is saying that president should apologize.
Yeah, well, that's too much, right? They want Karl Rove to resign because he wasn't indicted.
Right.
I mean, that's welcome to my world.
Yeah. Well, how long is it going to be? I mean, is this trial going to wind up being, a scab that the Democrats keep picking at on the Republicans as long as it goes on?
Well, they might, but if you did a blind ID test with, you know, I, Lewis Scooter Libby on Wednesday, you would have found about a half of a percent of the population that would have known who he was. It might have spiked to 2% on Friday,
yeah.
And it's going to be back down to about, you know, 0.75% today. So I don't think so. But, you know, and the Democrats are now saying, boy, the vice president's going to have to testify. This is going to be great. And they're making it sound like it's going to be the Larry King show where anybody
right.
can go ask the vice president a question. That's not the way it's going to work.
Well, what are the chances there won't be a trial?
Well, you know, it's...
And what would cause that?
Well, what we caused it is for Scooter Libby to cop a plea, but there were some reports that his lawyers tried to arrange that before he was indicted.
Right.
And that Fitzgerald, who apparently is a very tough guy, but very fair, I mean, I watched his press conference twice on Friday. He said no, he wants substantial jail time. I mean, one of the things about prosecutors is they'll put up with a lot of stuff. Lying to them ain't one of them.
Well, you know, and you pointed this out in your letter today, Rich, that I read before we went on the air. I am a happy subscriber, by the way, folks, at Mullings.com. Rich, you said that, you know, all we heard was the prosecutor side.
Right.
And until you hear both sides, you really can't make a fair evaluation as an interested party.
That's right. I mean, this description was, and this is absolutely true, when I was a young reporter in Ohio at a radio station in Ohio, I used to cover municipal court, and you'd listen to the prosecution's case in some drunk driving case, and you'd say this guy ought to not just lose his license, he ought to go to jail for life. He's such a horrible individual. Then you hear the defense put on its case, and you'd wonder how it was that the police that arrested this guy could keep their badges. I mean, they should turn in their badges and guns. So you really do have to wait until both sides are heard and then make up your mind.
Well, one of the things that bothers me a little bit is that this makes Joe Wilson so happy, because I don't like the guy. He is a liar. He's a serial liar. He's been proven to be, and he is not dealing good faith in the assignment that he was in, and it makes me unhappy that he may be happy about all this. Let's move on. I want to talk about this something new that's happening. You know, when a golfer hits two shots, one a superb example of golf talent, Rich, and the other one is abject ineptness. The golfer, you might hear the golfer say, how can the same man have hit both shots? So here's my question to you. How does the administration that picked John Roberts for the Supreme Court have picked Harriet Myers? Both shots.
Yeah, well, I think that that what the president was trying to do, I think the gossip overnight and early this morning is that the guy who is likely to be announced soon is a guy named Samuel Alito.
Right, of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. And he is the quintessential pick for the Supreme Court in this era. He's a member of he went to Princeton, Yale Law. He was a U.S. attorney, argued before the Supreme Court. Is a member of the I think Third Circuit in Philadelphia. So I mean he has all the pieces that a bunch of people were saying, you know, Mark, maybe we don't need somebody in that mold because these guys all talk to each other, they all read each other's rulings, they all, you know, it's such a closed little club. And he was looking for a reason to be able to pick somebody else, and Harriet Myers showed up and he said, oh, he was a perfect answer. Somewhat less than a perfect answer.
I got a couple of questions for Rich on that, and when we come back after he finishes up on the new nominee, Judge Samuel Alito, I'm going to talk a little bit about Iraq. It's something that Rich knows a lot about. 10-12, stay with us. We're back at 7-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I don't want to miss a second of our interview with our good buddy Rich Galen, publisher of Mullings.com, and I hope you'll subscribe to his thrice-weekly cyber column. And folks, as you noticed, and I didn't mention earlier, I usually do this, in the interest of full disclosure, Rich is of the Republican persuasion, and he spins to the right, as he says, and so if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, you're going to like what he has to say. If you're not, you're going to want to know what he's up to. So either way, subscribe to his stuff there, and he'll take good care of you. Rich, let's get back to this thing, this Supreme Court nominee, Judge Sam Alito. He is currently on the Third Court of Appeals, the Third Circuit, I should say, U.S. Court of Appeals. That's not a conservative court, but yet he seems to be holding up rather nicely the conservative banner.
Well, he does in the John Roberts mold. He is esteemed, apparently, by his colleagues, even those who don't agree with him, for his judicial thinking and his strong intellect, which is a big deal. So You know, the question that's going to come to us now is, how much of a fight is this going to be? And I suspect it'll be a dandy because everybody's got a ton of money just sitting in their bank accounts.
They got all this ammunition. What are they going to do?
And you just hate not to fire it off. So,
well, you kind of get the idea with Myers that that's what happened with the conservatives. They had all this money. It was scheduled to be spent, and they didn't know what to do, so they just went after their own kind, I guess. But what about will this create the so-called
nuclear option?
Well, actually, there would have to be a filibuster first, and then the nuclear option. Or will the famous 14 or the infamous 14 come into play?
Well, John McCain said this morning that he didn't know that there was going to be a meeting of the Gang of 14, as they call themselves, and get everybody's temperature. But you know that it's hard to see how these things are going to go down the road. U.S. senators are U.S. senators because they like doing what they want to do, not what necessarily somebody else wants to do. But we'll see what happens. But I think, again, as I said with Harriet Myers, that this will be won and lost in the one-on-one meetings that Alito has with individual senators. With Harriet Myers, unfortunately, I was correct, but it was lost there because senators came out in these meetings saying, I don't know.
Yeah. As opposed to
John Roberts, where they said, phew, wow, this is some guy.
This guy blew us away. What about, were you surprised that the nominee wasn't a Hispanic or a minority and or a female?
No, I think that the president, I've always said this about these nominations, that the president it's like the NFL draft. You take the best available athlete. And even if you're looking for a running back, if the best available athlete on the board when it's your turn is a linebacker, that's who you take. Because you need great athletes or great athletes. And I think that's what he's doing here.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how all that rolls out. Let's move over and talk about Iraq. Rich, on the same day the Iraqi constitution was officially deemed to have been approved by a majority of the voters, which included Sunni voters, here's what I heard a CNN talking head say when she was going to a break. And this is a quote, folks. When we come back, an update on the increased violence in Iraq.
Yeah.
Not one word about the Constitution. Well, what are the Iraqis and their coalition benefactors, Rich, what do they have to do before the mainstream media will admit that the first true democracy in the Arab world is not only a viable reality, but also a good thing?
If I had the answer to that, it would have been successful when I was there, and obviously I wasn't. So it is very difficult to. I mean, the problem is that you don't get on TV on the cable nets, you don't get on the front page of the New York Times if you are writing about about how well the negotiations are going for to run the elections for Parliament in December. You get on TV by saying how many people got blown up and how the fight between the Sunnis and the Shiites continues. I mean, I'm not blaming the press for this. I'm just saying that it's in the nature.
I blame them for not reporting what's happening.
Well,
absolutely, I blame them. I do.
But from their standpoint, that will end up on the cutting room floor to mix.
What happened to reporting, though? So what you're saying is reporting is out the window. I'm sorry if that makes me a romantic, but I think there ought to be some reporting here.
Well, I think it's editing that's out the window. That editors don't have the sense that they used to have that you needed to provide a balance of really what the situation was to provide context, and that's gone. I mean, in a business show, this probably makes sense. The economics of the news business have changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, it's really more entertainment.
But viewers, consumers of that information should know what you just said.
Well,
they should understand that what you're hearing is being delivered to you based on an economic model, not based on a journalistic model.
That's what I said. If I were good at my job when I was there, we would be in better shape.
Yeah. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. As always, good job. Give us the website one more time.
www.mullings.com.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. Thanks, Rich. See you next time.
Thanks, buddy.
Quick break. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Lysingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.